next on the 5 o'clock report.
Based on what I've offered, I would be blameless.
He's going to be a one-term president.
It's incredibly time-sensitive.
This is actually a lot like the city of Gettysburg.
I'm running for president of the United States.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Debt dilemma deadline. Good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Mark Webster. It's a dinner time meeting scheduled this hour between President Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, with debt ceiling talks the main menu item. They're the two main players in a dance of defiance over whether raising America's bloated debt ceiling further should be tied to spending cuts. President Biden says if a deal doesn't get done on time, don't blame him.
On the merits, based on what I've offered, I would be blameless. On the politics of it, no one will be blameless.
Kansas Republican Roger Marshall tells Fox News Biden's done nothing to distinguish himself dealing with the debt crisis or any other key issue.
He's going to be a one-term, one paragraph in the history book president. He's going to go down as the president, the highest inflation rates, open borders, Afghanistan debacle, and then potentially a default on our debt.
Will a debt default really happen if there's no deal by June 1st? Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says count on it.
We have to pay interest and principal on outstanding debt. We also have obligations to seniors who count on Social Security, our military that expects pay.
Pennsylvania Republican Rep. Brian Fitzpatrick says just the threat of a default could weaken consumer confidence and hurt the country's credit rating.
It's the risk of the downgrade that we got to worry about, which is why it's incredibly time sensitive. There's no question about it.
This meeting today set to begin at 5:30 in a Moscow, Idaho courtroom.
Ms. Taylor, is Mr. Coburn prepared to plead to these charges?
Your Honor, we will be standing silent.
Standing silent. The attorney for Brian Koberger, who entered not guilty pleas by standing and saying nothing today after the 28-year-old Washington State University grad student and Pennsylvania native was formally charged in the brutal murders of four students at their college house last November. This mother of one of the victims plans to be at every court session.
He knows, you know, what he did to our daughter, and he's going to feel all of us just staring at the back of his head because he won't even turn around.
CBS's Jarrett Hill says despite some strong evidence, the prosecution still has some work to do.
Legal analysts say despite the strong evidence for the prosecution, there's no clear motive. Also, no actual murder weapon was found at the scene.
Koberger's trial, set to begin October 2nd, should last about 6 weeks. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says the city of Bakhmut was not occupied by Russia as of Sunday. Moscow says it has been. Retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Davis tells Fox News Bakhmut carries a lot of symbolic importance to both sides.
This is actually a lot like, ironically, the city of Gettysburg and how important it was to the Civil War, where it by itself was not really that important, but two sides made it important, and that's exactly what happened here.
Davis says he's concerned Ukraine might have spent itself too much trying to win Bakhmut to have anything left for a long-anticipated spring counteroffensive. Meantime, new worries about a Ukrainian nuclear power plant, Europe's largest, which has had all of its external power cut off again, leading to increased fears of a catastrophic meltdown. Plus one for the increasingly crowded field of 2024 Republican presidential candidates.
I'm running for president of the United States of America!
South Carolina Republican Senator Tim Scott today making official his 2024 White House bid. Scott says he's in it to counter what the far left is pushing.
The radical left is pushing us into a culture of grievance instead of a culture of greatness.
Scott's entry brings the official field to five, with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis expected to jump in later this week. There's a drought in Kansas, the nation's biggest wheat producer. It's gotten so bad, farmers are killing off their own crops, saying what's growing won't be worth harvesting.
We're just hoping that we can harvest something. It's going to be very, very short as far as stature. It's not very tall. It's going to be a challenging harvest.
Steve McLeod, a wheat farmer near Newton, Kansas, America's wheat supply right now at a 16-year low. So, how do you feel about the financial reserves you have on hand right now? A new survey says fewer feel good about that than they used to.
73% of adults reported they were doing okay or living comfortably financially last year, around the lowest level seen since 2016. The share of adults who said they will be able to cover a $400 emergency with cash was 63%, down 5% from the high set in 2021.
That's correspondent Sarah Ewall Weiss. Still to come on the 5 o'clock report today, a preview of Legislative Day 2023 in Albany, Erie County, New York, bucking the trend when it comes to housing migrants. And Mello makes a mellow exit.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A pleasant night is ahead tonight, a cool, comfortable night, and it'll be a nice day tomorrow, warmer than it was in many areas today. For tonight, fair skies, low temperatures, 40s and low 50s, mostly sunny and warmer tomorrow. An isolated afternoon thunderstorm cannot be ruled out across the southern Finger Lakes and southern tier of New York. High temps, 70s to near 80. Wednesday, variable cloudiness, some showers arriving, breezy and turning cooler. High temps, 60s and 70s, but those temperatures drop into the 50s and 60s during the day.
All righty, thank you very much, Kevin Williams. Now, checking the stories making news where you live across New York and Pennsylvania. Legislative Day 2023 happens tomorrow in Albany. The event brings together advocates on cultural and social issues. Family Life's Greg Gillespie with a preview of what will happen in Albany.
The goal of Legislative Day is to put conservative New Yorkers face to face with Christians from every corner of the Empire State and to get them FaceTime with lawmakers. Some 1,500 people are expected at The Egg, the Empire Plaza Convention Center, starting at 9 o'clock. The program will feature a presentation by Joe Kennedy, an assistant football coach at a Seattle-area school who, in 2008, started praying at the 50-yard line after games. He did it alone, but some of his players would later join him. By 2015, the school fired him on First Amendment grounds, saying that government entities shouldn't be promoting religion, but Kennedy's case went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, saying his First Amendment rights for free exercise of religion were more important. Also on the docket, Mike and Julia Peace of Rochester, who better the lives of those living in the city, with a special focus on youth and young adults. Greg Gillespie, Family Life News.
All right, thanks, Greg. We'll check in with you again tomorrow. While a number of New York counties have declared states of emergency over the migrant crisis, Erie County, New York, has not. In fact, County Executive Mark Poloncarz thinks such a declaration is illegal and would be morally repugnant. In his words, Democratic State Senator Sean Ryan agrees.
Governor Abbott sent over 70,000 people to New York State. We don't control where the bus ticket goes.
But Erie County Republican Jim Malcheski argues Western New York just isn't equipped to accommodate an influx of illegal immigrants.
Kathy Hochul has welcomed everybody with open arms, and here they are on our doorstep. This has happened so far with no plan, and with no plan, it's going to continue to wreak havoc.
A group of migrants could arrive this week in the suburbs of Syracuse. The town of Salina is trying to get a restraining order to prevent those asylum seekers from being housed at a hotel there. Houghton University in Western New York defending its decision to fire two residence hall directors for violating a school policy by attaching personal pronouns to their email signatures. 27-year-old Regan Zelaya and 29-year-old Shua Wilma refused to eliminate the phrases he/him or she/her from their Houghton email accounts. Houghton President Dr. Wayne Lewis says the school is unapologetic in upholding an orthodox Christian worldview rooted in Wesleyan theological tradition. Next to Pennsylvania, Congressman Glenn Thompson is worried about the depleting number of farmers in the Keystone State.
The age of the average farmer in the United States is 57 and a half years old. So it raises the question, who is going to be there to take over the farm and to work on the farm?
Thompson is sponsoring legislation to incentivize farming by offering to pay back the college loans of those who get involved in the agriculture profession.
Essentially, they'd have to work in agriculture for at least 10 years. At the end of 10 years, they would be able to have their loans forgiven.
By the end of this decade, 47 of Pennsylvania's 67 counties will have more senior citizens than they will have people under age 20. Back to Capitol Hill, Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman wore a sweatshirt and gym shorts to a recent Capitol Hill press conference. Critics say it was totally inappropriate. Colorado Congresswoman Lauren Boebert called it unbecoming. Fetterman recently returned to Congress from a two-month bout with clinical depression related to a stroke he suffered last year. He often wore sweats and a T-shirt while on the campaign trail. One of Pennsylvania's largest universities is making drastic cuts to try to ward off some financial difficulties.
In a letter sent across the campus, IUP President Michael Driscoll said that IUP is facing dramatic challenges both internally and externally and, quote, must accelerate its progress toward student-centeredness and financial sustainability. Under the changes, several positions will be eliminated while others will see their job duties merged. IUP's enrollment has plummeted in recent years. Once the largest university in the state system, enrollment has fallen from more than 15,000 in 2010 to about 8,800 last fall. Brian Querry, Family Life News.
All right, thank you very much, Brian. Back to New York now. He only played there one season, but what a season it was. Carmelo Anthony led the Syracuse Orangemen's men's basketball team to an NCAA title in 2003. He followed that up with a solid NBA career spanning almost two decades. Now, in an online video out today, he says it's time to hang up the sneakers.
Now the time has come for me to say goodbye to the court where I made my name, to the game that gave me purpose and pride. But this bittersweet goodbye to the NBA, I'm excited about what the future holds for me.
Melo was drafted by the Denver Nuggets, third overall back in 2003. He eventually would be traded to the New York Knicks in 2011. Anthony would go on to play for the Oklahoma City Thunder, Houston Rockets, Portland Trailblazers, and finally the Los Angeles Lakers. Well done. Your nightly market report is up next, brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Here's Family Life's Dave Margolotti.
Stocks were mixed today as investors continued to watch for any news on the debt ceiling negotiations. Just 10 days left to come to a debt ceiling agreement as Washington risks its first ever default in U.S. history. The Personal Consumption Expenditure Price Index, a key inflation metric used by the Fed to determine interest rates, will be released this Friday. NVIDIA, Costco, Lowe's, and more set to release their earnings this week as well. The S&P 500 sector gains today coming from communication services, while losses came in the form of consumer staples. Crude oil closing today above $71 a barrel. The Dow was down 140 points, the NASDAQ was up 62, and the S&P 500 unchanged. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
You're listening to the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
Did you hear about the Chicago man who died and left $11 million behind? I am Rob West with the Faith and Finance Minute. No one knew Joseph Stansack was wealthy. He was a retired electrician who had no family. He lived in a rundown house and drove an old car. He mowed his own grass and did his own grocery shopping. But when he died, state officials discovered a fortune in investments and bank accounts. And here's the most unfortunate thing. He apparently never used his money to do good. Nor did he leave it to charity when he died. He just left it. Some might say he died rich, but did he? I pray that Joe Stansack's account will prompt us to all do good with money while we can and make it productive for God's kingdom. We can help you learn to manage your money according to biblical principles when you download the free FaithFi app. You'll find it on our website at faithfi.com.
Alrighty, coming up on the 5 o'clock report, lonely, bored, well, there's always solitaire.
Solitaire, got so lonely, solitaire, no one to hold me.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A pleasant night is ahead tonight, a cool, comfortable night, and it'll be a nice day tomorrow, warmer than it was in many areas today. Our next weather maker arrives in the form of a cold front on Wednesday with some developing showers. Cooler air follows, but higher pressure behind the front sets the stage for a nice start to the Memorial Day weekend holiday. For tonight, fair skies, low temperatures, 40s and low 50s. Mostly sunny and warmer tomorrow. An isolated afternoon thunderstorm cannot be ruled out across the southern Finger Lakes and southern tier of New York. High temp 70s to near 80. Wednesday, variable cloudiness, some showers arriving, breezy and turning cooler. High temps 60s and 70s, but those temperatures drop into the 50s and 60s during the day.
Thank you very much, Kevin. And finally at 5.
And solitaire's the only game in town.
Yes, it's National Solitaire Day. It was dreamed up by the folks at Microsoft after igniting a bit of a solitaire craze back in 1990 when one of their interns added a little solitaire game to the Windows operating system. It wasn't really designed for fun either. It was actually intended to teach neophyte computer owners how to use a newfangled thing called a mouse. Now, who knows how many millions of work hours have been lost to that little innovation since. The actual game of solitaire is, of course, much older, dating back to the 1700s. So be honest now, do you always win when you play solitaire? If you do, you're probably cheating, since statistically only about 80% of solitaire games are winnable using skill alone. The name, by the way, comes from the Latin solitarius, meaning alone. Just remember, you're never truly solitarius. That's the world we live in for Monday, May 22nd, 2023. Thank you again for joining us. I'm Mark Webster, Family Life News.